Set Free Ministry team and its international ministry partners welcomes you to another edition of The Journey. Whether working in some little jungle village in South Asia or the mean city streets in South America, the Set Free team faithfully brings the message of Jesus to those in need, building churches, training pastors, working with international leaders, and securing our religious freedoms. Set Free touches others for Jesus. Whether using old-fashioned evangelistic crusades or even the newer mediums of television and the internet, we bring the message of the kingdom of heaven to those around us. And now our hosts, Dr. Dale and Terry Climie.
Yesterday was spent up at Nacogdoches and spent interacting with a lot of different people, and I like it as a pastor, as a chaplain, just somebody that God has anointed to interact in the lives of other people. I love talking to everybody, and we might be talking with people that are church-going people. We might be talking to people that don't go to church. Might be talking to people that went to church at one time, and for some reason they've just decided that they don't want to know God. That the church is a farce or whatever. And it's interesting that I had the chance to talk with this one person yesterday at some length, and this person had gone to Catholic school, chapter 1 through 8, yeah, grades 1 through 8. And had been brought up in the church, and had just come to the conclusion in her life that even though she was raised in the church, she was married in the church, that her children had been baptized in the church, everything, for some reason there came a point in their life where they said, you know what, the church is just a scam. The church is just, they're just out there to get money. They are, whatever their excuse may be. And, I thought of that. I said, how sad. It's sad for somebody who never knew Jesus to think that the church, which is the bride of Christ, has nothing to offer, that the church is a farce, is a con. That's almost understandable, but for someone to go to church and to experience the blessings and the teachings of God's Word, to at one time base their life on all these things, and to become so disillusioned, to become so disappointed that they're willing to say, there is no way even to know God's Word. These things that we have, the church has told us that this is the Bible, that this is God's Word. And how do we know there's not something else out there that the church is keeping secret, that is actually God's Word? And I thought, how sad this might be that you would have all of these opportunities, and yet the effect of these opportunities is that you find yourself totally separated from God's love, totally rejected the workings of His church, of His will, and now you're just content to go through life as a skeptic, as whatever. And I was thinking, if you only knew the real Jesus like I know Jesus. All right. If people only knew the real Jesus like you guys know Jesus, and sometimes, in spite of somebody's best upbringing, in spite of all the opportunities that they might have, they never meet the real Jesus. And maybe just the pastor that they had, or maybe mom and dad were just so severe in their religious beliefs, or whatever, that when you walked away from all your different experiences that you had, you just said, no, I don't want that. And I really, at one time, I wanted to take this lady and said, "That's my Jesus that you're talking about. This is, you talk about the church that way. The church is the body of Christ. That's who Jesus died for. You know, how can you," and you just kind of want to shake them and say, "Wake up, can't you see the truth?" And no, they can't see the truth because now they have made their choices, they've made their decisions, and they've just chosen. This is not what I want to believe. And so today what I want to do, we're going to look at a little passage of Scripture. And it's not very many verses long, and it just reveals a little bit about my Jesus. A little bit about your Jesus. Amen? And so follow along with me as I read in Luke chapter 7, verses 11 through 17. Now, Jesus and his disciples have been out. They've been busy, busy, busy. And the Bible says that soon Jesus and his disciples were on their way to the town of Nain. And a big crowd was going along with them. And as they came near the gate of the town, they saw people carrying out the body of a widow's only son. And many people from the town were walking along with her. And when the Lord saw the woman, he felt sorry for her and said, "Don't cry." And Jesus went over and he touched the stretcher on which the people were carrying the dead boy. And they stopped and Jesus said, "Young man, get up." And the boy sat up and began to speak. Then Jesus then gave him back to his mother, and everyone was frightened and praised God. And they said, "A great prophet is here with us. God has come to his people." And news about Jesus spread all over Judea and everywhere else in that part of the country. And so what I am looking at from this passage of Scripture is that, number one, Jesus is willing to take time out from his busy schedule for people like you and me. Amen? And in this situation, we have this widow lady. And there's a reason why the people are wailing and crying. There's a reason why this is a sad day in her life, is because there's no welfare system. That her only son has died, and she being a widow means that she has nobody else. And now, just to survive, she's going to have to be like Naomi and Ruth and do their winnowing in the fields and work hard the rest of her life just to be able to eat. And so, you know, this lady has lost everything. And Jesus, you know, Jesus was a man with a purpose, wasn't he? I mean, he was born, and we celebrate Christmas, and we celebrate the shepherds, and we celebrate the wise men, and all the things that we do in celebrating the birth of Jesus. But, you know, that was just the beginning of God's purpose. Jesus was born so that he could die. Amen? He lived so that he could give us that perfect example of what a sacrificial life was all about. And then he gave up his life. The Bible said he gave up the ghost. Amen. He laid his life down for us. Jesus was a man with a mission. He was busy, don't you know? And he was on his way to someplace else, and he's going through this little town of Nain, some insignificant little, you know, wide spot in the road, and he saw a need, and he stopped. And he could have said, like many of us say, "Oh, I'm late for my appointment." He could have said, like so many of us say, I've got so many things to do, I don't have time for this." But even though Jesus had an important mission, and praise God for that mission, amen, even though he completed that mission, amen, and so we're washed by the blood and our sins are forgiven, even though he had some place he had to be, for that moment he had to be in the life of that widow lady. Because there was a need. You know what that tells me? That there was nobody too insignificant for God. We may feel like nobody else in the world is aware of our pitiful little existence, but God is. And that because of His love for Jesus, because of His love through Jesus for us, He will take time out for us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And I want you to see that His concern wasn't raising this boy from the dead. How many of you know that the dead boy had it a lot better off than all those others standing around? Amen? The Bible says to be absent from the body is present with the Lord. Jesus told the thief on the cross, "Son, today you will be with me in paradise." Amen? And so that boy was already experiencing just glories beyond his imagination. Jesus wasn't concerned about the boy. He was concerned about the mom. Amen? And I want you to see something here. That for the concern that he had for an insignificant lady. We don't even know her name. The Bible doesn't tell us her name. She's just the widow of Nain. Okay? For the love and concern for an insignificant widow lady, Jesus reached down into death and pulled back her son. Amen? So that his mama could be taken care of. How interested is God in taking care of your needs? Amen?
Amen?
How interested is God in meeting your needs, whatever they may be? Oh, God, I'm not accomplishing a whole lot. You know, I'm not like a famous evangelist or anything. This lady was nobody to everybody else, but she was somebody to God.
Amen.
And for her, Jesus reached down into death and pulled back her son so that her needs could be met. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. So what should we do as the followers of Jesus? Do you think we could be just a little bit more concerned? Amen? Amen. Do you think we might go just a little bit more out of our way? Amen? And then I want you to see something else here, all right? Is in this particular version and passage of Scripture, the people who were with her. In other places, we know that people are wailing and crying, and oh, this is a terrible time. And the Jews were particularly good at funerals. Amen? They had a lot of funerals. Most people didn't live to be very old, especially out in the farming communities. They had a lot of funerals, and people got good at attending funerals. And they realized that they would be sure to be invited to the funeral if they could wail and yell and cry, "Oh God!" and just really be a good mourner. As a matter of fact, there were some places where they actually hired mourners. If you were that good, you could get a job. Amen? You're just waiting for somebody to die so you can get another gig going over here and wailing and crying and all that stuff. And these people are wailing and crying, and it only took a word from Jesus to turn the wails and the cries into a party. Amen? Oh, you don't think there was a party? This is Jesus, and we have to be so proper and prim in front of Jesus, don't you know? Now, I believe that these people got excited. Oh, and like if you didn't go to a funeral and somebody set up in the casket, you wouldn't get excited? Amen? This is what happened. All right, somebody set up in the casket. Yeah, they got excited, and it says here that everyone was, number one, everyone was frightened.
Yeah.
Amen? I mean, knowing the Word of God as I do, and knowing what God is capable of, I've got news for you. If pastor was attending a funeral, and the guest of honor set up in the casket, my first response would not be, "Glory, hallelujah." My first bond is going to be, what just happened? You know, maybe I took too many meds or something and I'm hallucinating here. All right. Oh, the shouting and the dancing and the glory to God would come very quickly, but my first response is going to be, you know, startled, just, and that's what happened to these people. And as I said, and everyone was, number one, they were frightened, as would any one of us be. Amen. But number two, they started praising God. They started praising God. And it says, and they said, a great prophet is here with us. God has come to his people, which is Jesus' name, Emmanuel, God with us. Amen. And they said, God, a prophet, God has sent this man. God is doing things in our midst. And they saw what had happened, and they immediately gave God the glory. All right, so my and do you think that God getting the glory is a good thing?
Amen.
All right, I mean, wouldn't you like to be able to do something so that God would get the glory? Amen. And so, you know, oh God, help me so I can resurrect people from the dead so that this can happen. Help me, God, so that, you know, the things that I'm... But, you know, the Bible says, let your light so shine before men that they see your good works. You don't have to be raising people from the dead, folks. Amen? You don't have to be raising people from the dead. The folks that are up here for the food ministry, you're doing the good works. The folks that invite other people to come to church or give them a ride to the doctor or whatever it is that we're doing up here, let your light so shine before men that they see your good works, and they do the same thing that happened here. In verse 16, they started praising God. Jesus had to raise somebody from the dead for them to start praising God, but all we have to do is live a life that serves others, and people will be praising God for it. Amen? Amen? And so, I don't know what would happen, what would have to happen to a person for them to have experienced all that the kingdom of heaven has to offer and yet to turn their back on it and say, I don't want any of that. But I know that what this person saw that we talked about in the introduction, it wasn't this. It wasn't a life like Jesus lived, because I am convinced that for those of us who have seen this Jesus, who have experienced this Jesus, that have dedicated their lives to serving this Jesus, we wouldn't turn our backs on Him. Amen? Would experience a life that would allow people to glorify God. We don't want the glory. That's the difference between somebody told me the other day, yesterday, it's been a long weekend, you know, well, Chaplain, you're a good entertainer. Okay, well, you know, an entertainer is somebody who is paid to come up with some sort of material to entertain you. Okay, so, you know, whether you're entertaining by playing an instrument or singing or telling jokes or whatever, and, you know, Pastor, you sure are an entertainer. And you know, I kind of smiled and said, well, you know, I guess that's a compliment, thank you. You know, but see, I don't want to be an entertainer. I want to be somebody who just simply lives their life for Jesus so that people who see me see Jesus. Amen? And that's for all of us, that when people look at us and they see our good works, then they glorify the Father. They say, ah, that's what church is. Oh, that's what Christianity is. I like what I see, and that's what I want. And in verse 16, they were frightened, but then they praised God.
Morning comes, another day. Time doesn't wait, it doesn't stay. You have a choice you must make. How will you face it all? Life just winds like a mountain road. Sometimes yes and sometimes no. Good or bad, nobody knows. Will you choose to stand or fall? And just when you choose to take it on, the waves stop and the sea goes calm. lie down to rest your mind. Here comes the rain. Yeah, welcome to